that does it for today's broadcast. A very happy Valentine's Day to all, and a happy birthday to Mike Kimber here at Democracy Now! Well, we want to thank all of our producers, especially Aaron Maté for today's broadcast, Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkadous, John Hamilton, Anna Nagara, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Maddie Harper. Sharif Abdelkadous also for engineering today's broadcast. Again, our website is democracynow.org, and thanks to Uri Gallet and Angela Alston. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook. The time is 6:01. Time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, where I can say I'm happy that we finally got a significant snowfall this year, for those of you following these kinds of things. I believe it was 26.9 inches in Central Park and a little less out here on the island, but still, you know, good. It's a good start. It's mid-February, but we're getting there. Although I've never seen snow melt so fast. That's what happens when you have sunny days right after a big storm. It's, you know, 2 days after all the snow, and everyone's driving around like nothing happened. In fact, they were doing that yesterday, too. But I'm not going to complain about it, because I got some snow out of this. Hopefully there'll be a lot more. Not nearly enough chaos and mayhem, but one can always hope. Now, of course, we weren't here last week because of the reggae-thon. Actually, the reggae-thon, it probably saved my life. It really did. Well, because I probably would have been tempted to just talk about the cartoon thing, and you know how I get sometimes. I just would have gone on saying things, and there probably would have been a mob outside the studio by the time I was finished. So, no, you don't have to worry. Don't have to worry. I see panic in the faces of... No. No, it's... I'm planning a nice, entertaining show today. Designed to get a chuckle out of everybody, young and old, black and white. Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Jew. So, no, you don't have to worry about me offending anybody. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about offending people. It's about entertainment. It's about keeping you from thinking about your miserable lives and the thing that you have to do tomorrow that you really don't want to have to do. And to forget about what you did yesterday. And what your family did generations ago. Anyway, let's not even dwell on all that, because there's plenty of entertaining things to talk about. I mean it. Why do I get the feeling that people around here don't believe me? Well, okay. I'll tell a story then. How's that? I'll tell a nice, entertaining story. All right. Let's see. It's been 2 weeks since we've been here, so all kinds of things have happened to all of us, I imagine. Including, God, the headphones I have at this place. I sound like I'm in a tin can, but hopefully I don't sound that way to the people out there. In fact, I am told, I've heard it on good authority, that this is the first program that we have a high-quality, dare I say it, podcast going out there. So hopefully it sounds a lot better than it sounds to me right now. And the way it works is you can listen live or you can download the podcast, and you have a choice now of high quality or low quality. Yeah, don't even say it. Basically, the archives will continue to have the low quality version only because of bandwidth and space concerns, but this week you'll be able to download the high quality if you so choose. We're not forcing it on anybody either. So, okay, we sound better now, hopefully, at least in the audio sense. So maybe we can pull the wool over people's eyes for a little while. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I was driving into the city. This was, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago. It was after this show. Probably was last Wednesday, a week ago last Wednesday. Really, really, really late at night, like around 3 in the morning. And guess what? I'm driving on the Northern State Parkway, and I see this car all ablaze right in front of me. It's actually on the shoulder. And the car, it's a towering inferno. It really is. It's just flames coming from all over the place. I'm just astounded. Oh, and also, I'm driving the smart car. So I'm driving the smart car down the Northern State Parkway, and I see this car all engulfed in flames. And so I pull over, not really knowing what else to do, because I sort of have this thing about driving directly past cars that are on fire, because you don't know what's going to happen. Could explode, or could jump over into another lane. I don't know. But I also wanted to see if everybody was okay. Not that I was about to go jumping into a car that was that much on fire, but I figured, you know, at the very least, I could call the cops or something. And so I pull over, and I see that there's people on the side of the road kind of looking at the thing, and I imagine those are the people that are inside, that were inside the car, and I just ask, is everybody out? And yes, everybody was out, so I called the cops. They put me on hold. This is Nassau County Police. You call 911, and what do you think you get? You've reached 911. Your call is very important to us. All calls are answered in the order that they were received. My God, this is the police, for God's sake. The police putting you on hold, giving you that stupid recording. And so they, I don't know if they played music or they just kept repeating that annoying announcement. I guess they really don't want you to hang up. But wow, don't they have enough people to answer the phones? Couldn't be that many people calling in about the fire. So eventually, I think it was about 40 seconds after they initially answered with the recording, and somebody picked up. I couldn't hear them because they were in a room with all these people talking. I could not hear what they were saying. So I said, hello, is anybody there? Eventually I hear this dim voice saying, yes, sir, is there something you'd like to report to us? Like, yeah, you're a bunch of boneheads to start with. You're supposed to be the police, and it's like I'm talking to some switchboard of an electronics company that's trying to sell me something that I don't want. But after lecturing them for a few minutes, I got to the point of the matter, which was that, hey, there's this car on fire on the... And she finished my words for me. In Northern State Parkway, yeah, we know all about it. It's like, okay, great. I'll let you go then. Get back to whatever it is you're doing with all those people in the room. And so, it took another 15 minutes. I kept seeing fire trucks going across bridges, you know, in front of us. A fire truck went by the wrong way on the Northern State Parkway. They couldn't jump over the median. And apparently they couldn't enter from where the bridge was. So they were trying to find how to get onto the parkway to get to this burning car. And eventually one of the smarter people at the fire department said, you know what? It's 3 in the morning. I'm going to drive down the exit. and enter the parkway that way, because we were literally a few feet away from an exit. And so finally this fire truck comes down the exit onto the parkway and starts the process of extinguishing the flames. And boy, you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat a few hundred feet back. It was amazing. I was a little worried about my smart car because, as you may know, the outside of it's plastic. You can take the plastic and switch it around and change the color. It's kind of neat. But also, you know, it might melt and warp or something like that. So I was a little worried about that. Anyway, finally, one of the people who was in the car knocks on my window and says, you might want to move back a little bit because the gas tank might explode. Or the gas tank is going to explode pretty soon. And, you know, that never actually happened. Things exploded. Little things exploded. But it wasn't like a huge manic-style explosion that you would see on television. Nothing like that. I was getting a real education just watching the car burn, seeing what it was like. But also a little bit scared, not knowing what was going to happen. Maybe it would blow sky high, sending all kinds of projectiles for miles. But that never happened. It just kind of went poof a few times. There were flames everywhere. And the firemen were doing a good job putting it out. But the guy said, you know, you might want to move your car back a little bit. And this, I asked him, so what happened? Well, and he said, well, the car overheated. Understatement of the year, yeah, you think? And then this guy who had just seen his car completely demolished, had just escaped the hair's breadth of being burned alive with a bunch of his friends, seeing it all destroyed in front of him. He says, hey, that's a nice car. He had the time to take a look and say, boy, that's a, and it cheered him up, made him happy. Didn't matter his car was just ashes by this point. Didn't matter. Saw a cool, smart car, and it made him smile. So I gave it to him. I figured, you know, it's the least I could do. No, okay. I'm not quite that nice or stupid. And as I was driving away, after the flames were more or less under control, I noticed there were maybe six firemen holding a hose at once, because I guess there's so much water pressure that one person would go flying around like a deflated balloon if they tried to do it themselves. And as I'm driving away, I see at least two of them take their hand off the hose to point at my car as it's going by. Firemen putting out fires are distracted by the smart car going by enough that they take their mind off their duties. But that was something. That was kind of a neat little experience that I went through in the last couple of weeks. See, I can do it. I can tell a story and not offend people. It's unbelievable. The trust I get, people think that I'm just going to cause trouble. It's not my nature to cause trouble. That's not what I want to do. That's only 14 after, so what's he going to do for the rest of the hour? Okay, you know, I have another story. Yeah, surprise, I have another story. All right, this one isn't so pleasant. Not as pleasant as a fire destroying a car in a parkway. This one involves a credit card company. Yeah, right away, you know, this is something that's not going to be nice. I got this telephone call from a credit card company. It was actually a computer. Big surprise. Computer, but it was a seamless computer. It called up. I said, hello, I'd like to talk to you about your credit card account, and it gave the name of the bank, and it gave my name, and I think it even gave my address. I don't know why it had to give that information over the telephone. And this was in a message to my voicemail machine. So you had two little machines cooperating with each other to get me this information. And basically it was telling me, you know what, you missed last month's payment, which I did. Okay, I was busy, forgot, and they're saying, you know, make this month's payment so that things don't get unpleasant. And, okay, what do you think I did? What do you think I did when I heard that message? I ran to the computer, and did the thing that I have to do. You have to do all this crazy login thing. In fact, some of them now, you see a picture. You see a picture online, and you're supposed to verify that, yes, I recognize that picture. Because if you don't see that picture, then it could be somebody else telling you to log in and pretend they're pretending that they're your bank. But it's really, really silly because every time I do this, I forget that there's a picture. It surprises me to see the picture. So if I didn't see the picture, I wouldn't miss it. So it doesn't really accomplish anything. It just is another pain in the ass. But, you know, I went through this, did all the logging in nonsense, and there it was. There was my account. All I had to do was click on an amount and click on the submit button, got my little verification code. Everything's fine. All right. I took the computer warning very seriously. Well, the next day, the computer calls again, says the same thing. I'm like, okay, you know, it probably takes a day or two to clear. I don't know why. I did it on the computer, did it to their computer. It should be instant, but maybe it takes a couple of days. So I gave it a couple of days, called back again the next day, twice, in fact. And the third day. And by the time the fourth day came around, I was getting a little peeved at these calls that were coming in from this agitated computer. And so I picked up the phone as I saw one of the calls coming in, and I listened. I listened to the computer accuse me of owing it money, and I did not. I knew that I had paid the money. I had the verification code. I had everything. I had all the evidence in front of me. So I said, no, you're lying. Let me present my case. Well, I had quite a time getting it to transfer me to a person. I kept hitting zero. It kept saying that it wanted something else and got into a big argument with it. But eventually, just by shutting up and not doing anything, it transferred me to a human being who had no idea what in the world I was talking about. He said, you owe us money. We have no record of you paying us. I said, look, I have the number right here, the verification number. When you click online and it transfers money out of your bank, gives you a little verification code, a confirmation code for just such a situation. And the guy said, I don't know what to do with that number. That's of no use to me. That's of no use to me. All these times I've made electronic payments. Finally, I have the ability to use a confirmation code to prove that I'm right and they're wrong, and they have no use for it. They don't know how it works. Good Lord. Took about 45 minutes of being transferred all over the place. Finally, I got to somebody in the quote-unquote online department who actually was able finally to find the payment. Not by the verification number, by the amount. I told them how much I had paid. The verification number didn't really help at all. And they said, oh, here it is. This payment is scheduled for a week from now. Scheduled for a week from now. Well, who did that? The computer did that, sir. When you made the payment, it automatically pays it on the due date. But your other computer is calling me, telling me to pay now. Don't these two computers have any kind of speaking relationship where if it sees a payment come in, it knows to apply it to my account now because it's overdue? No, we never thought of that. So this nice guy somewhere was able to fix this. But it still took another 2 days for the other computer to be told about it. So I was getting more phone calls from angry computers for a couple of days. But they finally stopped. But my God, the stupidity. You design an online system to make things easier, and instead you have computers just simply talking over each other, and no one knows what's going on. Two stories, see? I can tell stories all hour long. I don't have to talk about that. All right, but, you know, I am going to talk about the vice president because that's just too good a story to pass up. As we know, Dick Cheney, it's funny, you know, when I saw the story on CNN, it just, the headline was Cheney shooting. Now, what would you think? What would you think? You know, Cheney shooting. But no, it was Cheney shooting someone. Nobody shooting Cheney. It was very strange watching the way this story developed because at first they reported it. They said this happened yesterday. And my first question is, well, why are we just finding out about this now? This is how the story sounded at first. Vice President Dick Cheney accidentally shot and wounded a companion during a weekend quail hunting trip in Texas. I'm even going to skip all the Dan Quayle jokes, all right? We just don't have enough time. Spraying the fellow hunter in the face and chest with shotgun pellets, Harry Whittington, a millionaire attorney from Austin. That's exactly the kind of person you want to shoot, huh? Well, we always knew Cheney was going to shoot a lawyer at some point. I guess this makes as much sense as anything. According to this paper, he was alert and doing fine after he was shot by Cheney. The shooting was first reported by the Corpus Christi Caller Times. The vice president's office did not disclose the accident until nearly 24 hours after it happened. That's amazing. How do you even do that? And why is it they're the ones disclosing it? Why aren't the cops disclosing this? Why isn't the hospital saying something? So now there was all kinds of reports, and all the reports that you saw basically just quoted what the vice president's office said, that the guy didn't announce himself, that he wasn't wearing bright orange, that it was all his fault. But you know what? There are reports coming out now. In fact, if you go to the smokinggun.com, you'll see the first official report that was released in the Cheney hunting accident. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department today issued a report on Vice President Dick Cheney's accidental shooting Saturday of a fellow quail hunter on a sprawling Texas ranch. The hunting accident report briefly recounts how Cheney plugged Harry Whittington, a 78-year-old Austin lawyer, with birdshot in the face, neck, and chest. According to the state report, Cheney was wearing a blaze orange cap and coat/vest and brown trousers and was toting an Italian-made Perazzi 28-gauge shotgun. In addition to the document's release, wildlife officials reported today that while Cheney had purchased a valid non-resident hunting license, he did not obtain a required upland game bird stamp. As a result, a warning citation, which carries no fine or penalty, will be issued to Cheney. But the interesting thing here is that it says very clearly that the victim was also wearing blaze orange cap and vest. And it just seems like the story is starting to have some strange changes to it, such as the fact that the guy is now being treated for a heart attack. Yeah, he's fine. No problems. He's alert. Oh, and he's also in serious condition in the hospital. Now, this interesting report also came out. This came out yesterday. The vice president was the press strategist. Karl Rove was the investigative reporter. Vice President Cheney overruled the advice of several members of the White House staff and insisted on sticking to a plan for releasing information about his hunting accident that resulted in a 20-hour overnight delay in public confirmation of the startling incident. That's according to several Republican sources. This is either a cover-up story or incompetence story, said a top Republican who is close to the White House and has rarely been critical of the administration in the past 5 years. Carl was constrained. I wish I'd give their names sometimes, you know. Carl was restrained, as was the entire communications operation, because the vice president had arranged for how this was to come out. As described by the White House spokesman at a pair of rowdy briefings in a follow-up email to reporters, Cheney accidentally shot a 78-year-old hunting companion on a ranch near Corpus Christi on Saturday at about 5:30 p.m. local time, or 6:30 p.m. in Washington. A traveling aide to the vice president gave what one official privately called a heads-up to the staff at the White House Situation Room, who notified White House Chief of Staff Andrew Carr, Jr. He called President Bush around 7:30 p.m., to inform him that there was a hunting accident in the vice president's group, a spokesman said, but Carr did not know the vice president was involved at that time. Rove, a deputy chief of staff, later spoke to the ranch owner, who is a longtime friend, and discovered that the vice president had accidentally shot someone. Rove called Bush shortly before 8 p.m. to tell him, according to the email. Press Secretary Scott McClellan was not told until 6 the next morning. And at that time, he began pushing to get the information out. But that didn't happen right away. Cheney insisted on carrying out a strategy he had worked out with a ranch owner. in which he was to call a trusted reporter at the local paper, the Corpus Christi Caller-Times, and disclose the news that way. At 3:34 p.m. Eastern Time, the next day, the Associated Press finally flashed the news. Vice President Dick Cheney accidentally shot and injured a man during a hunting trip in Texas. Fitzgerald says he is mystified about the chain of events and that the public should have been notified much earlier, even if the shooter had been some random guy. And there's been all kinds of questions being asked now. The vice president was at the White House yesterday but did not meet reporters. He has no public events scheduled on Tuesday. The guy hasn't said a word. Unbelievable. Got vice presidents out there shooting people. And according to this article in the Detroit Free Press, Vice President Cheney violated a basic commandment of hunting safety when he wounded a man during a weekend quail hunt. Always be sure the background is clear before pulling the trigger. I'm not even a hunter and I know that. Cheney swung his shotgun to follow a bird and fired as the barrel crossed the spot where Whittington was standing, hitting him in the face and chest. And of course, you had to see him wearing that bright orange. Quail don't fly very high, seldom higher than 8 to 10 feet in the air. It's surprising that an accident like this could occur, but then it isn't surprising because it wasn't like shooting at a duck or something that flies higher. Well, who's to say? We weren't there. But one thing that we can say is that the way this story came out is staggering, unbelievable, crazy. Okay, I haven't offended anybody. Yeah, I'm like, well, it's a story. It's a story. It needs to be told. You know what? In honor of us being in high quality mode on the net, I'm going to play a little bit of music, if that's okay. You should get a cup of coffee and stop looking at me. FCC advisor here. Well, we're going to play this little song, popular song from a few years back. And I'll come back, tell a few more stories. Won't offend anybody. Doesn't that sound good? Okay, he's gone. Good. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. You see, I don't know if you're aware of this, but FM radio in the States has changed a bit over the last few weeks. Every station now is required to have an FCC advisor on call, and in my particular case, they have to be in the room and watching what I say and what I might do. And, you know, I don't really mind. I don't mind. I enjoy the company, in fact. I kind of like frightening the old guy. But I know some people might see that as an infringement. But he's gone downstairs to get coffee, so we can talk freely for now. And this is something I think would be kind of cool to kick things off with. I also put a wastebasket in front of the door, so he'll be have a little trouble getting back in. This song comes from, I think, 1989. I played this a million times on this station and on other places, too. Christianity is Stupid by Negative Land. It's actually the words of a preacher that's talking to his flock, saying how the world of the future will have loudspeakers saying Christianity is stupid. But I've worn T-shirts that say Christianity is stupid, and people laugh. Some people get offended, that's true, but people get offended these days. That's what life is all about, getting offended. So, of course, that leads me right into what's been going on over the past couple of weeks. I have to talk about it, of course. You know I have to talk about it. It's simply unbelievable. We're talking about the protests about the cartoons. And what happened today, thousands rampaged through two cities in Pakistan's worst violence against Prophet Muhammad caricatures, burning buildings, housing a hotel, and banks, KFC, vandalizing a Citibank, breaking windows at a Holiday Inn, and a Pizza Hut. Yeah, they hit Pizza Hut. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. At least two people were killed in Lahore, where intelligence officials suspected outlawed Islamic militant groups incited the violence to undermine President Musharraf's U.S. allied government. Associated Press reporters saw crowd members who appeared to be orchestrating the attacks, directing protesters, some of whom were carrying containers of kerosene towards particular targets. Pretty unbelievable, huh? And that's just the latest. What we've been seeing around the world has been simply staggering. In Syria, they set the Danish embassy on fire a week ago Saturday. Just because of these cartoons. Now, you know, let's play another religious piece. See, I can play satanic music too. And I've done it many times. I've played Christianity is Stupid. I've given the satanic cults here a voice for many, many years. And yeah, it might have offended some people, but we all survived. But, oh no, if you dare to print a caricature of Muhammad, oh my God, the whole world goes crazy. This is insane. I've never seen anything like that. And what really bothers me the most about all this is the silence. The silence that you see from so many in the media here. And at first, the administration of this country was really mystifying me as far as what they were saying, how they were reacting to this. They seem to be condemning the Danes, the Danish newspaper, for daring to print caricatures of Muhammad. I didn't even know that you couldn't do that, for one thing. But look, I want to show you something. The pen here. What I'm doing right now, I'm sorry that this is not TV, but I've just drawn a stick figure. And now, I am writing the word prophet. Two M's in Muhammad, right? Prophet Muhammad, and pointing an arrow at that stick figure. What have I just done? Have I just blasphemed Islam by doing something like this? Oh, look at this. I just ripped it up. Now what? Who have I pissed off this time? I'm not supposed to draw the caricature. Did I somehow redeem myself by ripping up the caricature I wasn't allowed to draw? This is the silliest stuff I've ever heard. But the fact of the matter is that Islam is not my religion. I don't have to abide by its crazy laws. And yes, they are crazy, just like every single religion's laws are crazy. But you'll never see people saying that, because, no, we must not offend certain people. Give me a break. I can play Christianity is Stupid. I can play Satanic Black Masses. I can read the Dr. Laura questions. Oh, you'll love these. You'll love these. These are great. As you know, Dr. Laura Schlesinger is a U.S. radio personality. And she's said some rather controversial things in her time. She's called homosexuality an abomination, cannot be condoned under any circumstance, which I think is less than what the U.S. military says. And she's actually an observant Orthodox Jew now. So listen to some of the questions that have been passed around on the Internet. Dear Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I have learned a great deal from your show and try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them that Leviticus 18:22 clearly states it to be an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you regarding some of the other specific laws and how to follow them. Number one, when I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord, according to Leviticus 1:9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? Number two, I would like to sell my daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? Number three, I know that I am allowed no contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanliness. Leviticus 15:19 through 24. The problem is, how do I tell? I've tried asking, but most women take offense. Leviticus 25:44 states that I may indeed possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans, but not Canadians. Can you clarify, why can't I own a Canadian? I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath, Exodus 35. And Exodus 35 clearly states he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, according to Leviticus 11:10, it is a lesser abomination than homosexuality. I don't agree. Can you settle this? Leviticus 21:20 states that I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I have to admit that I wear reading glasses. Does my vision have to be 20/20, or is there some wiggle room here? Most of my male friends get their hair trimmed, including the hair around their temples, even though this is expressly forbidden by Leviticus 19:27. How should they die? I know from Leviticus 11:6-8 that touching the skin of a dead pig makes me unclean, but may I still play football if I wear gloves? And finally, my uncle has a farm. He violates Leviticus 19:19 by planting two different crops in the same field, as does his wife by wearing garments made of two different kinds of thread, cotton and polyester blend. He also tends to curse and blaspheme a lot. Is it really necessary that we go to all the trouble of getting the whole town together to stone them? As in Leviticus 24:10-16. Couldn't we just burn them to death at a private family affair like we do with people who sleep with their in-laws? Leviticus 20:14. I know you have studied these things extensively, so I am confident you can help. Thank you again for reminding us that God's word is eternal and unchanging. That's a little letter to Dr. Laura. You can find that floating around on the Internet. But one thing you won't find on the Internet are websites, major news websites that link to the cartoons. Now, I respect people's religions. I really do. It may sound like I don't, but I respect people's religions on an individual basis. If you choose to worship whatever, I'm not going to get down on you for that. But by the same token, I have the right to criticize anybody I please, as all of us do. And that goes for prophets and gods and animals and humans of all sorts, leaders of countries, leaders of corporations. So that's why I think this is a very important issue. That's why it's become extremely important just in the world of freedom of speech, free press. And I have the cartoons right here, in fact. Yeah, I know, it's radio. It sucks, but it's the best I can do. And a lot of these are simply drawings of a guy that looks like a regular guy. Yeah, we've all seen the one with the bomb on his head. Have we all seen that? If you've seen the cartoons, that's probably the one that you would have seen. And yeah, that's offensive. There's no question about it. That's offensive. But it's also perfectly permissible, as it would be for any religion. So, here's one where God is apparently saying, or the prophet is apparently saying, stop, stop, we ran out of virgins in heaven. Well, it's kind of funny. It's kind of amusing. But the thing is, I found this because a news website mentioned this site, which turns out to be somebody's blog, somebody's personal blog. Yeah. They don't even have the guts to put it up themselves. Now, the New York Sun printed this, and nobody noticed, because nobody reads the New York Sun. It's one of these extreme right-wing papers. And unfortunately, that's something that's been happening. The right wing is latching on to this. Initially, the Bush administration was criticizing Denmark, but now the right wing has latched onto it, and the left wing is remaining very, very silent. In fact, you can be accused of being a Republican if you say that this is a free speech issue. I don't get this at all. I don't understand it. We can say all kinds of things about one religion but not another because that's insensitive. It's someone please explain it to me. Now, the Philadelphia Inquirer also printed one of the Danish cartoons. And the editor had this to say. On Saturday, February 4th, the Inquirer published one of the cartoons originally commissioned for a Danish newspaper. These cartoons have become the subject of international protests, debates, and in some cases, violence. At the heart of this debate are our journalistic values and how we practice them day to day. To us, this was a moment for newspaper journalists to do what they are uniquely qualified to do in this country, to lay out all sides of the issue for a well-informed public to debate and discuss. The Inquirer published the image to inform our readers, not to inflame them. Before we published it, we interviewed a wide range of people, from Muslim theologians to experts in journalistic ethics. We considered the publication of the image in the same way we have previously considered publishing difficult or troubling images. Other such examples include the burned bodies of contractors hanging from a bridge in Fallujah, and artistic works that included disturbing Christian imagery. Remember the artistic display in the Brooklyn Museum a few years ago? It had elephant dung and a statue of Christ? Or the Virgin Mary or something? You have the current edition of Rolling Stone where you have a rap artist posing as Jesus Christ? Yeah, it offends people. That's life. Get used to it. Continuing here, we published the Danish cartoon as part of a rich offering of coverage on the whole issue. We not only covered the protest, we also examined the issues behind the protest. We have run stories on why Muslims might find the images offensive and on why the American media found this such a difficult choice. We plan further coverage on a variety of topics, including satire in the Middle East. We also have invited members of our local Muslim community to contribute pieces for our op-ed page. This is what newspapers are in the business to do. We educate people, we inform them, we spark discussion. It is not only our profession, it is our obligation. Well, those are good words. At least they had the guts to print one of the cartoons. Show people just what it is that we're talking about here. And, you know, these demonstrators all overseas, haven't seen the cartoons at all. They're told what's in them because they're not allowed to actually view it themselves. So it may seem a whole lot worse. But then any image apparently is forbidden by anybody on the planet. I mean, come on. Who in their right mind, what human being would not hear that and say, you know what, I'm going to draw an image right now. And then rip it up on the air. Yeah, these things have to be said. These things have to be said because all basic religions must be criticized for the things that they do, for the hypocrisy, for the contradictions that are in the Bible, for the anti-gayness in every single religion ever created, it seems. And don't think atheists are off the hook either. Them and their self-righteousness, knowing exactly what happens to you after you die, i.e. nothing. How do you know? Nobody knows. That's the beauty of it. Nobody knows anything. I don't know. The Pope doesn't know. Bush certainly doesn't know. And yeah, you know, if you embrace science as another kind of religion, well then, you tend to miss out on other possibilities. Science is a whole lot bigger than you might think. There's so much we don't understand. Look at the universe around us. Look at the great distances we have yet to cross. So yeah, I'm upset at everybody because I just feel that the job is not being done. Yeah, okay, he's back. I talked about it, I'm sorry. What? Hang on. I just think that's stupid. I have to play this now? This is the silliest thing ever. Okay, this is fun. The FCC advisor tells me now that I'm supposed... What? What are you waiting for? I'm not supposed to talk about the FCC advisor. Okay, I have this piece here. I was just making it up about the FCC. There's no such person as the FCC advisor. It doesn't exist. If you heard me talking to somebody, that was purely in your imagination. Or maybe it was me making it up in your imagination, or something like that. All right. I'm not going to say anything. But I have to play this. I want to play this to sort of make up for things I might have said. I can't believe you just had this lying around. Apparently, we have these little spots now that we're supposed to be playing for times of healing. Times of healing. Messages, not necessarily religious messages, but just messages that are supposed to calm people down in times like this. And we just happen to have a whole... All right, fine. Put this in. And I haven't heard this. Okay, fine. If this is what must be done, this is what must be done. I'm going to take a walk down the hall and have a little conversation with somebody out there while this plays. But this is something that I think is supposed to help here on Off the Wall.
In these troubled times, when problems like political corruption, unemployment, mental illness, racial strife and the breakup of the family seem to be ever on the increase. When one war is no sooner ended than another begins in some other part of the globe. When sometimes we get up in the morning and feel that we look out on a sea of hate which threatens to engulf everything worth saving in this tired old world of ours. In times like these, it is more important than ever that we prepare a place in our hearts where the peace and loving kindness of our Savior can enter in. Love thy neighbor, Jesus said. And we know that he meant by that not just the fellow who lives literally next door to you, but all our neighbors all around the world, whether they're black, white, or yellow, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, long hair or short hair. For how are we going to achieve the happiness and prosperity we're all striving for if we turn against one another with hate instead of love in our hearts? If we are going to preserve any hope for lasting peace in the world, we must learn to live in harmony with all races, colors, and creeds, whether Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Communist, Atheist, Hindu, all except the Jews. Because, let's face it, the Jews killed Christ. They killed him just the same as if they had murdered him, and we can never forgive them for it. And now, thanking you for listening, this is the Reverend Otto A. Brown saying, God bless you, and good night.
Oh, sorry. Sorry for the dead air there. I was running back from down the hall. Gosh, I don't know. I didn't even hear that. Hopefully that gave you some of the healing effect you needed. But you know what? To be honest, and I just had this out with somebody down the hall who doesn't really have any say here. It's not about the healing effect for me. It's more like the scarring effect. And I think that's where we should focus our attention. Yeah, and you know, you can play the Reverend or whoever this guy is during his own time slot, not during mine. Because I don't think that's what the people need to hear. But maybe you can tell us. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Where we'll continue to criticize religion and other things as often as we feel like. Because I have the door locked and nobody can stop me.
Trust in Henry, yes, he knows what's best for you and me. Darling, can't you see that it's the only way to be? Throw your troubles to the wind and climb right up that tree. Yeah, put your faith in Henry, and it's absolutely free.
And that's our friends, the Donner Party, from many years ago. Trust in Henry. Sounds like a good idea to me. All these crazy religions going around out there, all these people going nuts, lighting things on fire, screaming and yelling at each other, all because of silliness. And it's been going on through the centuries. Might as well just start a new religion called Henry and be done with it. I'm open to anything. I'm open to all sorts of ideas, all sorts of theologies. But once they become intolerant of others or themselves, then that's where I sort of get on another bus, you know what I mean? Here's some email that was sent to us. And again, you can send us email, otw@2600.com. What a mess the world is in with these cartoons. While it demonstrates the problems inherent in freedom of speech, I got more scared about the censorship. I happened to flick over the Fox News to see what their coverage was like. I was obviously expecting some hideous spin. But to my horror, they were showing a story of a very different cartoon. One showed an image of a Gulf vet with no arms or legs, and Rumsfeld saying, I'm classifying your condition as battle-hardened. Aren't they taking a risk here? It's so blatant, it's scary. Signed, John from the UK. Well, you know, yeah, maybe they are taking a risk. But that's sort of what it's all about, is showing things that might get people talking. Maybe they were making a point. I don't know, did they ever actually show the Prophet Muhammad cartoons? I don't know. I don't know if they did that. Now, I've been to Scandinavia a number of times, and one thing that I've noticed is that they are very open and tolerant about many, many things. That's why you have a neighborhood of anarchists called Christiania in the middle of Copenhagen in Denmark. Even though it goes against all their rules, they still tolerate it. Of course, the future is uncertain, but the point is they do have an understanding of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the differences between that and governmental control. And this is something that can never be backed down. You can never back down on these values, because if you do, they do not come back. Not without a big, long fight. So you have really a class of cultures here that's being instigated by people who, I guess, benefit from a clash of cultures. Remember, these cartoons were published last fall. And the only reason they were even printed in the first place was because people were afraid. They were afraid to draw an image of a prophet or a god or a deity of some sort. And that's something that's fascinating. And of course, that's why this was pursued and a kind of a contest was started. So it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. Hopefully people will stand up, make a stand. And it's not a left-right thing. It's a freedom of speech thing. And religion can do its own thing, but speech is something eternal. All right. We are out of time. And I'm told that this was selected. We have this little committee of people called the League of Listeners who make suggestions. And they've suggested that I have a new outro for all time. Is this true? Okay. It must be a really good, song then, if they want me to use this all the time. I like this. Okay, I get it now. Very funny. Very funny, guys. All right, well, we have our own little instigators here that want to have their own little joke at my expense. That's fine. That's fine. I got a few things to say about listeners, too, you know. In fact, next week I'll devote the show to how we don't need listeners either. All right, because they're just, you know, we could have so much fun in this place if it wasn't for listeners. We wouldn't have to worry about what it is we're playing and what we're saying. We could just have fun playing records and talking to each other and things like that. But instead, we have to worry about all these people out there who occasionally call the cops or one time Interpol. I mean, it's a drag. It really is, having to worry all the time. We should just be able to get in front of a microphone and spout forth and play whatever we want and make music and draw things even. Why not? It's called free expression, and it's hindered when you have to always think about what you might be saying and what you might be doing. All right, that's it. I've had it. OTW at 2600.com. We do want to hear what you have to say. Have a good night.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.